we got to take a step back here. Like 4 years ago, Andrew Cuomo was political roadkill. He was left for dead.
Hi there, it's WAMC News Director Ian Pickus. And on this episode of the WAMC News Podcast, an update on the New York City mayoral campaign. Early voting is underway in one of the strangest races for New York City mayor in memory. Embattled Mayor Eric Adams isn't running in the key Democratic primary, but former Governor Andrew Cuomo is. And his many opponents are hoping to spring an upset in the ranked choice voting election. Joining us now for an update on the race is Politico reporter Nick Reisman. Hi, Nick.
Hey, Ian. Thanks for having me.
So as we speak, we're in the early voting phase. Do we have any sense of how popular the 10 days of early voting is proving with residents of New York right now?
Turnout is up compared to 4 years ago, but I personally believe that early voting is not necessarily an indication of what the electorate is ultimately going to look like by primary day. It's kind of an apples and oranges mishmash comparison. A lot of people are trying to parse about, you know, who's coming out, where they're coming out, you know, who, what kind of voters they might be. But I think the trying to draw a broader picture from the early voting turnout from the first couple of days is kind of a fool's errand, just because it's still relatively new. 2021, I believe, was the first time it was actually used in a mayoral primary and mayoral election in the city. So it's really tough to draw anything out conclusively from that.
Now, remind us how that process actually works. You're not just picking one candidate when you go to the polls.
That's right. This is a process that's for the primary called ranked choice voting. This is something that's now in its second election cycle in New York City, and voters can select up to five candidates. They can rank them in order of preference. So you rank your top candidate first, and then your second candidate second on down the list. And then there are multiple rounds. So if in the first round, a candidate does not get over 50%, they will then continue to run this ranked choice voting system where the bottom candidates are eliminated and their votes are then redistributed to the other candidates in the race until someone crosses that 50% threshold. In the 2021 race, first time it was used, I believe it took, I'm going off memory here, about eight rounds in order for Eric Adams to win.
So remind us, there are some bold names, but who are some of the contenders as we speak?
Well, as we know, the two leading candidates are former Governor Andrew Cuomo and Assemblymember Zohran Mamdani, who are offering very, very different visions for the city's future and are obviously very, very different candidates. And we'll obviously get into that a little bit more. But there is also New York City Comptroller Brad Lander, who has been kind of consistently placing about third in most polling. There's his predecessor, former Comptroller Scott Stringer, who's running, State Senator Zellner Myrie, New York City Council Speaker Adrian Adams is running. There's a former hedge fund executive named Whitney Tilson, and there's also State Senator Jessica Ramos, who is running, but just last week, she, in a very surprising move, endorsed Andrew Cuomo's campaign, has been actually campaigning with him the other day, and Ramos is still going to be on the ballot, and she is still technically running, but for all intents and purposes, she is thrown in with Andrew Cuomo.
You know, I wonder what you make of the endorsement dynamics around Cuomo, because although he does have obviously some strong support, a lot of people and publications have said we might not love the guy, but he is the best choice in this field to lead the city. And Ramos kind of made that same case, as did, in so many words, the New York Times editorial board and the former mayor, Michael Bloomberg, too.
The New York Times editorial board certainly used a lot of words to kind of parse through the race the other day, which was kind of the zigzaggy editorial where they didn't really endorse anybody other than to say the choices are dispiriting for New Yorkers. The choices primarily being at this point Cuomo and Mamdani. And I know this angered a lot of Cuomo critics who had kind of hoped the New York Times, this pillar of the institutional left in New York City, would have weighed in against the former governor. But look, I mean, we got to take a step back here. Like 4 years ago, Andrew Cuomo was political roadkill. He was left for dead. He resigned in disgrace, in scandal. The sexual harassment allegations, which he denies, the COVID nursing home policies, were deeply controversial and continue to be. And yet, despite all of that, Andrew Cuomo was able to amass a series of endorsements, partially through his name identification, partially through this concept and belief that he is an effective manager for New York City. And as his campaign was kind of gearing up at the start of the year, a lot of his allies were going around essentially saying, look, this guy's inevitable. We've got some early polling that shows him easily defeating the folks at the time who were kind of these lesser known rivals. And that was convincing enough for people who need to be in the good graces of the mayor of New York, no matter who that individual is. And they know Andrew Cuomo's reputation for revenge, for being vindictive once he's in office, punishing his enemies and supporting his allies. And they knew it would have been a mistake to start off on the new mayor's bad side. So I think a lot of labor unions, a lot of public officials made that calculus when they ultimately endorsed Andrew Cuomo.
So, I mean, for people who were around for his nearly three terms, we remember the figure that Cuomo cut in Albany. But what kind of profile has Mamdani built in the state government?
So Zohran Mamdani is 33 years old. He was elected only a few years ago. He has passed a grand total of three bills since taking office. I have to double check. I know there was a Zohran Mamdani bill that was going in the final days of the legislative session, so it might be up to four at this point, but it's a paltry legislative record. He does not have a lot of experience in government. And he, before he was a state assembly member, he kind of bounced around to various jobs. He has run a campaign that I don't think a lot of people were expecting him to do. He has clearly staked out a lefty lane in this Democratic primary that a lot of candidates, like say Brad Lander, had really hoped to do and failed. Mamdani is very adept at social media and especially TikTok. He has these very slickly produced videos that are funny and charming on down the list. But Cuomo has been pointing out that Mamdani's resume is remarkably thin. He does not have the experience, and he questioned whether Mamdani would have the chops to stand up to President Donald Trump once he's mayor. And if you go by polling, that is one of the animating issues for a lot of Democratic voters in a very blue city right now.
Well, aside from the personalities, what are some of the key issues in this race? I mean, what are the different visions for what they want to do if they were able to be elected to this job?
Well, you know, let's talk about the Trump factor for a second, because I think the Trump of it all is probably the biggest kind of X factor here. You know, Mayor Eric Adams, who is not running in this Democratic primary precisely because he's so cozy with the Trump administration after the Department of Justice moved to have his corruption case tossed out, has been kind of a little bit aligned with the Trump administration on immigration enforcement, which is obviously an issue that's kind of inflaming the entire country at this point. And Cuomo launched his race in March, and one of the first interviews he did was with Stephen A. Smith. And in that interview, Cuomo did not do what I think a lot of Democrats now is kind of de rigueur wrote for them, which is to say, I'm going to stand up to Trump. He said, look, you know, I've known Trump for years. You know, Trump is someone who I've done business with before. He's a fellow Queens boy, just like me, and I can work with Donald Trump. And if you, you know, really look at some polling that is asked, you know, like, do you want a mayor who's going to work with Trump, or do you want a mayor who's going to fight Trump? And overwhelmingly, Democrats are hungry for a mayor who is going to be fighting Trump. You know, the president has in the last couple of months during his, you know, second administration here, has been trying to put his thumb into New York City, where be it clawing back federal aid, trying to end the Manhattan toll program known as congestion pricing. So Trump looms large in this race. And Cuomo has kind of subsequently recalibrated and has started running a campaign that is partially about, look, I've got the experience to deal with this guy. I fought with him during COVID. I have a measure of the man, and I know how to counteract him. And Zoran Mamdani is too inexperienced to even understand the dynamics of what it's like to deal with Donald Trump. And look at what's going on in Los Angeles now, where Trump is sending the National Guard and Marines to address the protests and the unrest in Los Angeles. You don't want that in New York. And essentially, Cuomo has been saying, I'll make sure that federal troops are staying out of New York.
It's been quite a long time since there's been a liberal like Mamdani as a New York City mayor. Bill de Blasio, to a degree, tried some progressive things, but what would he do with this job different from what Cuomo has talked about?
Mamdani, his plan in part hinges on an increase in taxes for some of the wealthiest New Yorkers. He wants to tax the 1%, the wealthiest 1% in New York City, in which, you know, even though it's 1% of the population, it's a lot of people, a lot of rich people live in New York. It's arguably New York's greatest natural resource. And Mamdani wants to take that money and then use it for mass transit. A big campaign promise for him is a free bus service in New York City. And he also wants publicly run, government run grocery stores in New York City as well in order to combat hunger. He's got an affordable housing plan. They all have affordable housing plans, but he has a rather aggressive affordable housing plan. A lot of what's flowing, though, out of Mamdani's platform is that tax increase on the rich. And he is going to have to get Albany to approve that. A New York City mayor can't raise taxes unilaterally, neither can the New York City Council. So he's going to have to go to Albany for permission to get some enabling legislation to do that. And anyone who has any passing familiarity with mayors of New York knows that their policies go to Albany to die. You know, Mike Bloomberg struggled with Albany, Bill de Blasio struggled with Albany, and Governor Cuomo for that matter. And so Mamdani is going to need to convince not just the legislature to increase taxes on rich people, but also Governor Kathy Hochul, who has been resistant to increase taxes on a statewide level. So there are some real doubts about whether Mamdani can actually achieve that agenda if he becomes mayor.
Just to wrap up, assuming that it seems like, you know, Cuomo is probably the front runner here, if we're going to believe polls and fundraising and so on, and that's yet to be determined. But what would the Cuomo-Hochul relationship be like, given all of their tortured history? And now they'd be in positions that are oppositional to a degree, just by definition.
Oh, man, you know, that's a story that will be really fascinating to follow if that actually comes to fruition, if Andrew Cuomo is mayor and his former lieutenant governor, Kathy Hochul, is going to be dealing with him at the city level. Like, I think there are going to be two ways this can go about. It's my expectation. One is the status quo could be very boring, where Cuomo and Hochul essentially say, OK, you deal with the state, I'll deal with the city, and we'll just kind of stay out of each other's way. That's kind of this non-aggression pact that you're seeing right now between Governor Hochul and the current mayor, Mayor Adams. The other option is, you know, look, Kathy Hochul already has a primary challenger in her own lieutenant governor, Antonio Delgado. She could be getting a second one with Congressman Richie Torres, who has been close with Andrew Cuomo. Richie Torres has said that he is running for governor basically contingent on whether Cuomo wins the mayoralty, or at least Zoran Mamdani doesn't win. So there is a universe where you could see Richie Torres running for governor in that Democratic primary with some tacit support from Andrew Cuomo along the way in City Hall. And that will indeed make for a very fascinating dynamic if that scenario actually plays out.
You know, and assuming that they are in the same positions a couple of years from now after the next election, I mean, a lot of ground to cover between now and then. But it's not like Cuomo is known for going on defense and taking his foot off the gas pedal. I mean, he is a offensive political figure in every sense of the word, at least to this point in his public life. So, I mean, Hochul may be interested in, you know, running her own race at a time when Cuomo isn't.
I would not be shocked. Also, my colleague and editor, Sally Goldenberg, did an interview with Andrew Cuomo a few weeks back now. And Cuomo noted that, you know, look, the mayor of New York doesn't have much power when it comes to dealing with the president of the United States, but the mayor does have a bullhorn. So he suggested that as mayor, he might go around the country, perhaps campaigning with some Democratic congressional candidates against, say, federal cuts to Medicaid that Republicans have engineered. I mean, you know, we're 3 years, soon to be 2 years away from a presidential election in 2028. Start to do the math here. Like, it's very possible that Andrew Cuomo is starting to set his sights on some national ambitions as well, and maybe trying to scale up here. If he's able to actually achieve what would be, I mean, just kind of a mind-blowing comeback to think about it, he might be setting his sights on higher office fairly quickly.
Politico's Nick Reisman. Nick, it's always great to catch up with you, and thanks for all of your reporting and insights.
Thanks for having me, Ian.
Okay, that does it for this episode of the WIMC News Podcast. Thanks so much for listening. Until next time, I'm Ian Pickus.